Iran's Guardian Council appoints 8 nominees to run in the upcoming presidential elections in Iran. Iran's president says the country would leave behind every obstacle. Iran says its latest talks with the IAEA had not failed. The Syrian army gains more achievements in fight against armed rebels. And multiple bomb attacks hit northern Iraq, killing and injuring a large number of people. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Iran's constitutional supervisory body, the Guardian Council, has approved 8 hopefuls to run in the upcoming presidential race slated for June 14. The council on Tuesday approved senior lawmaker Ghulam Ali Haddad-Adel, Secretary of Supreme National Security Council Saeed Jalili, Secretary of the Expediency Council Mohsen Rezaei, President of the Center for Strategic Research of the Expediency Council, Hassan Rouhani, former First Vice President Mohammad Reza Aref, Tehran Mayor Mohammad Bogher Qalibov, former Telecommunication Minister Mohammad Qarazi, and former Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Velayati. A total of 686 hopefuls registered for May 7 to 11 for the Islamic Republic's 11th presidential election. The President of Iran is elected for a 4-year term in a national election. The Iranian president says the Iranian nation would leave behind obstacles like small sands, a reference to impediments created by the bullying powers to Iranian progress in science and technology. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who arrived in the southeastern province of Kerman on Tuesday morning to inaugurate several development projects, added that the Iranian nation has throughout history successfully experienced many big events, and the obstacles hurled on their way by enemies made them more resolute to go ahead with progress. The president said the domineering and bullying powers can do nothing vis-a-vis the will of the Iranian nation, and that the Iranian nation would proceed with their activities and progress despite enemy pressures. The president further said the government has gained much success and has taken big steps in the field of wealth distribution. He also called for speedy reforms in taxation and banking systems of the country to have better wealth distribution system. The spokesman of the Iranian Foreign Ministry said Iran's latest talks with the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, has not failed. Abbas Araghchi reiterated that the talks included issues beyond commitments. He also said the talks were held to set a framework for Iran-IAEA cooperation, noting that the two sides have so far held 10 rounds of difficult and complicated negotiations. He expressed hope that the next round of talks would lead to some final results. Araghchi also added that Tehran is always ready to continue talks with the P5+1 group and the IAEA, either before or after the presidential election, since there has been no change in the country's principled positions. Elsewhere, Araghchi condoled the American nation on a tornado which hit U.S. state of Oklahoma, leaving many people dead and injured. He also expressed sympathy with the families of the victims. A massive tornado ripped through parts of the central U.S. state of Oklahoma, nearly killing dozens, including many elementary school children, and leaving a trail of devastation with winds of up to 200 miles per hour. The killer tornado struck the Oklahoma City suburb of Moore, flattening homes, 2 schools, and a hospital. The spokesman of Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office said officials could see as many as 40 more deaths from Monday's twister. More than 120 people were being treated at hospitals, including children. Some were in critical condition. According to the National Weather Service, the dangerous storm system remains a threat as it is expected to cruise over 10 more states.
Day, it's certainly a very, very sad day for the state of Oklahoma. A very hard day, a tragic day of tremendous disaster that has hit this community of Moore and other areas of the state. Beginning yesterday with the terrible storms that passed through so many different areas, and certainly today with the accumulation of this big tornado that hit along the same path of the May 9th May 3rd tornado in 1999. It's just hard to believe that something like this could happen again to Moore itself.
The Syrian army has made advancements in Al-Qusair, taking back control of a large area of the strategic western city from foreign-sponsored militants. The eastern part of the city, its main square as well as the municipal building, are under the full control of the Syrian government forces. Meanwhile, the army said it has killed two militant commanders during the operation in the city, which is located near the border with Lebanon. Fierce battles are still going on in the city as the Syrian army continues its operations there, while large numbers of militants abandon their weapons and flee the city. Meanwhile, Syria said its army has destroyed a Zionist military vehicle that had crossed the ceasefire line in the occupied Golan Heights. The army added that the vehicle drove toward the village of Bir Ajam, located in the liberated area of the Syrian territories. The Zionist regime has recently boosted its military activities in the Golan Heights, where clashes between the Syrian army and the militant groups continue. And now a recap of tonight's top stories. Iran's Guardian Council appoints 8 nominees to run in the upcoming presidential elections in Iran. Iran's president says the country would leave behind every obstacle. Iran says its latest talks with the IAEA had not failed. The Syrian army gains more achievements in fight against armed rebels. And multiple bomb attacks hit northern Iraq, killing and injuring a large number of people. Tripoli has been the scene of fierce clashes between the supporters and opponents of the Syrian government since the beginning of the unrest in Syria more than 2 years ago. Now, death toll from 3 days of clashes in the northern Lebanese city of Tripoli over the crisis in neighboring Syria has reached 6. According to Lebanese sources, one person was killed and 5 others injured in renewed clashes between residents of rival neighborhoods of Bab el-Tabana and Jabal Mohsen on Tuesday. At least 2 people were also killed and many others injured in gun battle in the same area on Sunday. 2 Lebanese soldiers were also killed the next day when the army entered the flashpoint area to break up the clashes. Multiple bomb attacks in northern Iraq have killed 7 people and injured nearly 75 others. On Tuesday, 2 car bomb attacks were carried out in the town of Tuz Kharmutu in Salah ad-Din province. The bombings also inflicted severe damage on several houses. In another incident, 2 roadside bombs exploded in a market in the city of Kirkuk. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has announced plans to overhaul the country's security. He also stated that the cabinet would discuss the matter on Tuesday.
While we were at the market to sell sheep, an explosion took place. Some sheep were killed and we ran away. There was a state of panic and chaos. Are those who commit these the friends of the Iraqi people?
Hundreds of demonstrators marched outside the U.S. Justice Department in Washington to protest the judiciary's failure to prosecute major American financial institutions that have contributed to the nation's growing housing crisis. Protesters marched through the streets of the U.S. Capitol, urging the nation's judiciary authorities to hold American bankers accountable for sweeping foreclosure practices that have forced many homeowners to lose their homes to banks that have financed them. The protesters further called on the U.S. Justice Department to put an end to persisting mass foreclosures. In 2012, nearly 800,000 Americans were forced out of their homes through foreclosures. Bank foreclosures across the U.S. are continuing at a rate of over 40,000 a month. Official data show the suicide rate in Greece has soared 26% in 2011 compared to a year before, making it the highest rate in past 50 years. Greek National Statistics Agency, Elstat, said on Tuesday that the district of Athens accounted for the highest number of suicides with 35% of the total number of recorded cases. NGOs say the number of people taking their own lives in the country is actually much higher than the number recorded. In addition, they say there's no available statistics on the number of failed attempts, which is estimated to be 15 to 20 times higher than the registered suicide rate. Greece has been the epicenter of the Eurozone debt crisis and is experiencing its sixth year of recession, while harsh austerity measures have left tens of thousands of people without jobs. A Japanese security firm has a warning for would-be robbers. Keep your eyes on the sky because a soon-to-be-launched security drone will track you down. The drone has been designed to fly to the scene of a break-in and wait until the perpetrator tries to leave. Here's more.
Professor Toshiki Imamura is pretending to be a robber. He's using a crowbar to break in through the front door of a pretend home. But unbeknownst to him, he's tripped a pretend laser detector, unleashing an aerial drone that, as he's about to find out, is anything but pretend. Imamura is co-developer of security firm Seacom's new crime-fighting quadcopter. Equipped with a camera and sensors that allow the autonomous pursuit of a suspect, it's an eye in the sky that Seacom's Tsuneo Komatsuzuki says could be the future of industrial and home security.
We do offer normal surveillance cameras to our clients, but this is completely different. Sadly, we've had some real upsetting cases in the past, cameras only managing to film criminals from behind or only capturing their shadows. But this goes right up to the subject and gets the perfect footage from the perfect angle. The camera misses nothing.
After being triggered into action by the initial break-in, the drone flies immediately to the scene. It's programmed to hover in place until its motion sensor detects a person's movement at the point of entry.
Criminals will get a shock when they see it. They'll look up in sheer amazement. And it's at that moment that the camera will be able to film them head-on, making it far more likely the suspect can later be identified.
And if the perpetrator flees, the drone will follow, sending a live video signal back to Seacom even while in pursuit. And if the quadcopter comes under attack, it's able to take evasive action. It's just as effective with the suspect's car. The drone can follow it and zoom in on license plate information. Seacom has spent 2 years developing their drone. The company plans to begin marketing them in 2014 to their 1.8 million domestic customers. Each robot will be restricted to a pre-programmed flight area, large enough, says Komatsuzaki, to keep a home or office safe while making robbers think twice.
A pair of conjoined twins are recovering in Peru, nearly a month after they were successfully separated, and doctors say they will be able to develop normally and live a full life. Shadaya and Chandel were born connected at the abdomen on February 26. The sisters shared a liver but were able to undergo the separation surgery because they did not share a biliary tract and each had their own heart and other vital organs.
From the start, the good news was that even though the twins were joined at the liver, they did not share biliary tracts, which means they each had their own biosystems. This was already a plus. The next step was to prepare the time of separation so that they could each have enough liver for their metabolic needs.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of RYN and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye. We'll be right back.